Rahimi and Marshall Harris with Mark Grody bring you five topics on their minds today on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I got five. Number one.
Bears coach Ben Johnson provided the following injury update on Monday.
Hey, Ben, are you going to bring Kyler Gordon back to practice this week?
That's the hope.
That's the hope, Coach Ben Johnson said. How much of a boost would Gordon give the Bears' defense?
Well, theoretically, if he's healthy, it would give the Bears a massive boost. But the problem is they tried this once before, and it didn't go so well. And judging by how we're seeing Jalen Johnson move on the field, we know he's not at 100%. And then the question becomes, is it better to have a partially healthy, previously known to be star on your team versus somebody who's healthy and capable? And that's the real choice that has to be made here. So I think the boost power of this question depends on how healthy Kyler Gordon actually is. Do I think he's going to be blitzing off the edge like he has when he's healthy? No. Does the threat of him blitzing off the edge do something to make the Packers look different offensively that gets them off the field? Maybe. And that's kind of where I come down to this, is that the Bears have been without him for so long, and the question of whether or not he's been healthy has unfortunately been asked too many times this season in a way that has expectations now changing, that I can't quantify it without knowing if he's really good to go or not.
So the term caviar bump comes to mind. That's what the Bears need. They need something that makes them feel a little bit better about what they're doing. Because, you know, you do a caviar bump. You know what a caviar bump is because, you know, you're Layla Rahimi.
I've never heard of it.
I knew that was going to be my other side of it. Yeah. It's where you take the caviar, you put it, like, on your hand.
Yeah. By your thumb.
Okay. You're supposed to let the warmth of the skin release the flavor as you take it in.
But it's $75 an ounce, and that's kind of where it gets tricky.
Well, you guys are fancy. You guys have got caviar material. I mean, I don't even know.
Well,
I
was dealing with one caviar person and one caviar person.
I'm just, you know, blue collar over here.
We try to take opportunities such as this to educate you and others.
I have rage. Taking the show.
I feel
wearing
educated.
A secondhand sweatshirt from 5 years ago.
I also like caviar, so
there you go.
But back to the caviar bump. Like, that's what you need from Kyler Gordon. The problem is, it ain't going to be that kind of bump. The bump is going to be minimal at best.
Well, you hope it's not a drug bump.
Well, I was going to say, it's probably more like a cocaine bump.
No.
Because you don't know what the after effect is going to be.
Yes.
You might feel good for a moment. But what happens after?
Oh, yes.
I don't know.
Exactly. Because we don't know what Kyler Gordon's going to be.
I don't mess with all that.
If he comes back.
I just said I was cheap.
That is the reality of the situation.
You're right about that. What I'll say about it is there are plays that we could probably talk about right now that have been made or not made by various cornerbacks, including C.J. Gardner-Johnson, in the last 2 weeks that we know that Kyler Gordon probably would have made the plays. I mean, let's go back, if we want, to the first game against the Packers and that deadly slant pattern to Christian Watson where C.J. Gardner-Johnson was completely exposed. And I get it. That's a hard cover. Maybe Kyler Gordon would have had a crack at
that. You sure about that?
I mean, it would have been pretty tough.
You sure about Kyler Gordon coming back from injury having a crack at that?
Well, so if we're going to add, I mean,
that's my point.
Like, I feel like that caveat needs to be added. Is he 100% healthy or not? Or do we have to project that during this answer?
He's not going to be 100% healthy.
Well, I mean, I don't know that. So it's really tough to answer this question. But my belief is, yes, Kyler Gordon is not going to, like, make this big superstar change and, like, left and right. But he will make a difference. The Bears defense will be better if Kyler Gordon is playing.
Yeah, but how much better? Does he have to leave again? And then we're like, oh, what do we do?
What's our plan? I don't know how healthy the foot is or will be.
Well, my point is this. All the other people who have left and then come back,
that's right,
being out this long, who's made, like, this big impact?
You're right. I mean, everything you guys are saying is logical. It really is. But we don't know.
I've got a solution.
Oh, what's the solution?
Andrew Billings in pass coverage. Let's get weird.
Haven't we seen that already? Did that not go well? Yes, that did not go well.
No, it was an uneventful play.
Oh, okay. Like, this is like, why is he back there?
Ended up in pass
why
coverage.
Is he on the second level?
And Olin, like, tweeted about it. He was like, Billings and pass coverage, don't like that.
I ran out of
that's exactly what it was.
He tweeted what we were all thinking.
Don't like that.
And the way he said it, I heard his voice crystal clear.
Yes.
Number two.
How many points will the Bears need to win Saturday's home wild card game against the Packers?
I was gonna say 30, but that's ludicrous. 28.
Yeah,
yeah.
28?
28.
Bears defense only giving up 27 points to Jordan Love and the Packers as he stands as a statue in the backfield with no threats of pressure.
Like I just said, I'm gonna drop some weird stuff defensively.
I'm gonna go lower than you. I'm gonna say 25. I think the Bears defense can hold the Packers to 24 points.
I'm a little higher. I think the Bears. I'm right with you, Layla. 27.
I said 28.
I'm gonna
if
go
you
28.
Want to go 27, 28. You can.
I want to live $1. On the Layla. I'm on the Layla tree. 28.
28. Just yeah. Also, I'm pretty sure that was the final score of one of the games.
Maybe.
So, yeah.
Maybe. Okay.
Number three.
This is 5 on it on 670. The score with Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, and Mark Grody. Here's the third question. What's the most compelling NFL head coach opening?
Okay, we didn't mention this, and it happened in the last hour, and we should. It's not a head coaching opening, but it leads me to believe he's getting ready to be a head coach. Adam Schefter reports that Cliff Kingsbury and the Washington Commanders have mutually agreed to part ways, and the phrase other opportunities was mentioned. I am led to believe that's because he's going to be a head coach somewhere. But I wonder if some team hadn't fired somebody because they think they're waiting to see if he's available, a la Cubs and Craig Counsell. So I'm very curious to see how that shakes out. Maybe it's more about if Cliff Kingsbury is going to be a head coach somewhere. But is it the Titans just by default because they asked to interview Matt Nagy and we know him?
That's the best opening?
I think it's the most compelling. The best opening is the team that has the most talent. But I think that's not the Titans for me.
It's definitely not the Titans. I'm going to go with the Las Vegas Raiders.
Mm.
They have the number one pick. Mm-hmm. They have some talent that they could turn around if they want to. Hey, what's up, Max Crosby? And get some more picks.
Max Crosby's coming here.
They're in a full rebuild.
Come on, Max.
It would seem, right? Doesn't it feel like they're in a full rebuild? Once you get the number one overall pick and you need a quarterback and you see what Geno Smith did or did not do over the course of his season with his longtime coach, Pete Carroll, who's now out, I feel like it's right there. And with Tom Brady at the wheel, I like that opportunity for a head coach to get his own quarterback and to move forward.
The team that has the most talent, by the way, just to wrap that up, is Atlanta. I think Atlanta probably has the most talent out of the head coach openings.
It is where the players play.
It is where the players play. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
It's kind of underrated.
Welcome to Atlanta,
it.
Where the players play.
Oh, you know that one, Grody?
I do.
But look, potential
talent.
He knows
talent? Busta. He quotes Busta all
the time.
Come on.
Wait a minute. Is it? But isn't Cleveland in that conversation?
They are. Well,
they have so many picks.
This is where I go with this. This is where I go to answer this question. Most compelling, best opening, however you want to phrase it is. And I'll turn the question back on you guys. I'll give you the list. Who has the best quarterback? Who's got the most promise at quarterback? You got Michael Penix in Atlanta and or Kirk Cousins. Jackson Dart with the Giants. Young Cam Ward with the Titans. Don't give up on him. Geno Smith with the Raiders. Shedeur Sanders, I think, with the Browns. Kyler Murray with Arizona. It's a tough call on that. Who's the best quarterback out of that group? And that's your answer.
It's got the asterisk because they've got the number one overall pick.
Yeah.
Ashton Jeanty, too.
If they ever want to get a line.
Franchise running back. But that's how I feel about Bijan Robinson. So.
Bijan Robinson. He got a line.
It
might be the Raiders. You might be right because, quite frankly, I'm not sold. Like, I'm not over the top on any of those quarterbacks.
We also
right?
don't know if teams are done firing head coaches.
Can I tell you guys the best about this question about what we're discussing right now?
Mm-hmm.
The Bears aren't involved.
So good. Ha ha to all those teams. Yeah, good luck.
That deserves
good
more
luck,
than a
Porth.
Matt Eberflus managed to get fired 2 seasons in a row.
Porth been hearing. Did Porth hear what's going on? Ryan Porth, one of our bosses here, he is He's a huge Tennessee Titans fan. Does he realize what's going to happen? Matt Nagy is going to be the head coach of the Tennessee Titans.
Don't say it.
And
don't
Matt Eberflus will be the defensive coordinator.
Good luck, Porth. You said it.
If Matt Eberflus becomes Matt Nagy's defensive coordinator,
I'd love that. It just would be so beautiful.
I'm rooting for Nagy.
I hope he does
People
well.
People deserve second chances.
They do.
Coaching, for sure.
I like Matt. He's a nice guy. Nice guy, and he had all the right ideas, the enthusiasm.
I'm a nice guy, but you're
he
not
didn't
hiring
ball enough either.
He made mistakes with the Bears. There's no doubt about it. Doesn't
I
mean
make
he's,
mistakes
it doesn't
too.
Mean
Will
he's not
me?
A, it doesn't mean he's not a good offensive mind. It doesn't
stop,
mean that
stop
he can't
trying to get a college job so you can get fired.
Is it not a path to success financially? That is my financial plan.
Number four.
He meant well, but the problem is, well, it's another segment.
He was bad.
It's
look,
another
he,
segment
he,
for another day.
He did not succeed as the Bears head coach. Still had a winning record.
He dug into failed processes.
He had no playoff
there's
wins.
There's no doubt. The flaws were real. They were
he
real.
He had no playoff wins.
But there's been a lot of coaches also, who get second chances
you,
and are much better.
Listen, if you read Dan Pompey's article that came out about Nagy, about Matt Nagy, yes. And then go back and read the articles that Dan Weider and Rich Campbell put together detailing that last season where he was at the helm. And then also read the one that Kevin Fishbane and I forget who was with him at the time who wrote that, but it talked about how like Mitch Trubisky brought his playbook and he was ready to meet with Matt Nagy and Nagy didn't show up.
Well, and he had some issues with Allen Robinson too, who when he got the franchise tag did not handle it. Like the communication was not there between coach and receiver. Now, according to that article, the Pompey article, those two are cool. Like they've made up and everything's... I mean, part of the reason that Allen Robinson was so excited about going to the Bears in the first place was Matt Nagy. So this was a guy who had players' attention around the league and then what happened with the Bears. There was some success and some bad, for sure.
It was Adam Johns. I think it was Fishbane and Johns who wrote that. And it will change your mind on how you see that season falling apart. And if he read those or understood that those were flaws, that's a good thing.
Yeah, he did. He did.
Well, we're not done talking about former Bears coaches named Matt because the Cowboys reportedly fired defensive coordinator Matt Eberflus today. Have we seen the last of the Flus as an NFL head coach or coordinator?
Definitely not as a coordinator. I feel like, also, I felt bad for him that Jerry Jones traded Micah Parsons. Wouldn't you love to coordinate a defense with Micah Parsons and what the Cowboys had put together at the time?
I might last a whole season as a college coach with that type of talent.
And then you Jerry wouldn't
Jones,
want that.
And then Jerry Jones is like, problem solved. I got y'all Quinn and Williams. No, Jerry, the problem was not solved. You were in an NFC East division where you could have seen two teams make the playoffs, but you didn't.
Give it to him.
And then you hired Jerry because you were familiar with him, and that's what Jerry Jones does. I'm sorry, you hired Matt Eberflus because you were familiar with him, and that's what Jerry Jones does. And when you're gameable like that, when you're predictable in your behavior to the point where familiarity becomes a significant way in the algorithm, that's a bad thing, by the way, as a leader and as a manager. And that doesn't mean that Matt Eberflus shouldn't be a DC somewhere. I think he's too respected in the league as a DC.
Mr. Diaz, can you repeat the actual question again? Because I just want to make sure I answer it correctly.
Yes. Have we seen the last of Matt Eberflus as an NFL head coach or coordinator?
Okay. No, because retread is life. I've seen offensive, defensive coordinators just get, reused, composted, brought back to life. Like, I've seen it all. Yeah,
recycled, reduce, reuse, recycle.
NFL recycling program is strong.
Like it really is.
Like the dating strategy of me in my 30s. Like, just keep it coming.
Oh.
Like, spin the block. Somebody's going to spin the block on Matt
Eberflus. You talked about that earlier in the pre-show meeting.
Did you have gift baskets? Keep it coming. Wow.
Gift baskets.
I'm not at Derek Jeter levels. No, I don't have that type of resume, nor do
like
I have that type of ability.
I actually think the gift basket would be a nice touch.
Does the gift basket get bigger a woman, when you spin the block the third time? Is it a bigger basket?
Well, no, but the thing with Derek Jeter's gift basket.
You've been listening to too much of the Fat Joe and Jada podcast.
That's right.
So, that is 100% where that thought came from.
The problem with the Derek Jeter gift basket racket is that he accidentally gave a woman a gift basket twice because he didn't realize he had already been with that woman. So like that's why the gift basket thing can be dangerous if you're out there in high volume.
Hey Layla, what do you think Marshall would put in his gift basket?
Here we go.
What would he put in? A couple t-shirts maybe?
Definitely fun graphic tees.
Here's a couple of my extra t-shirts.
I know how valuable hoodies are to him.
Yeah, so he's
like, I invited you into my home. Like, somewhere is a piano riff playing.
Like
here too, my lovely graphic t-shirts and a hoodie.
Layla, I wear like a bad hoodie that I don't really like, but then they think it was great because I actually wore it in their presence. So that's what they can remember.
Marshall
and then
wearing
she's
that.
She's like, I'm stealing your hoodie.
Marshall coming out with that Bill Belichick CBS interview sweatshirt with holes in it.
Yes.
I do love a short sleeve hoodie. I do. Coming from the summer climate, the short sleeve hoodie is sometimes as cold as it's going to get. That's the weather.
What were you going to say, Grody?
What are you putting in your gift basket?
Oh,
a Dave the Cat toy?
He doesn't have gift baskets because he doesn't approach beautiful women who happen to be paired up with him
guys,
at public functions.
If you don't know, apparently there was a potential scene at this Illinois State watch party. Brock Purdy on the mind. Illinois State watch party. And the homecoming queen of 2005 made herself a trivia question.
Yeah, well, so, yeah.
Grody could have been there.
This is not a creepy Atlanta Braves sideline reporter situation.
She's like, let's do a trivia thing. And we both decided, the homecoming queen and I, like, maybe we don't do that because they probably, with all due respect, we probably don't know our ISU homecoming queens. And she was like, yeah, absolutely right. And so, but I said, you know, what we can do is, why don't you co-host this thing with me? Why don't you go ahead and ask a couple trivia questions? And she did, and we just had a blast. It was really good.
I love how
awesome.
The end was there. It was you had a layup.
I had a lot going
well,
on, man.
And she came up to you, and she was like, I have an idea. I can be a trivia question.
No, I don't even. She might have been there. She might have been married for all I know. I was not in that mode.
Do you ask questions for a living? Do you not ask questions
for a living?
I was in work mode, okay? I had a whole crowd to serve. I had the whole... I don't know if she wants her name out there.
Well, we have to get back.
People can look it up if they want.
We have to get back to the business at hand. Grody, what would you put in Matt Eberflus's gift basket?
Oh, that's great.
The beehive. You put the north in there.
Like a bunch of honeycombs.
You gave away the north. Hey, I'm serious about the bees. It's good work for the world.
No, it is.
Have we all answered our flus? Is he gonna have a job as a coach or a coordinator?
Looking at the resume, because that's what you got to do. Is you got to look
2005 homecoming.
You went to his LinkedIn.
You got
to
look. Don't worry about it. She's doing just fine. She just texted me. So anyway, no, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. That didn't happen.
Right. She's in his DMs.
That did not happen.
She's in his DMs right now.
So the flus has coached in the NFL for the Browns, for the Cowboys, for the Colts, for the Bears. So that's where you got to look. Like, does he have a chance to become the Cleveland Browns? Is the Cleveland Browns defensive coordinator fired?
I'm sure the whole coaching staff is gone.
Yeah, because Stefanski's out. I think so makes sense.
I'm going to say, like, keep an eye on that. Maybe. I mean, that's 2010, so it's 15 years ago. But that's what you got to look at. You got to look at those places. My answer is not right away, though. Like it's good. Like this was too fast. Gets fired from a head coaching job.
Linebacker skip job first.
Fired. Maybe he won't because didn't Flus say before he took? At least he said this before he took the DC job for Dallas. He said he wasn't doing it. Going to take any job. That he was going to lay back for a couple of years, hang out with his family, take a breath. I think that's what's going to happen with Matt Eberflus. I think it's going to take a couple of years to regenerate some interest.
Bear glove deodorant. That's Barrett a good glove. Gift basket. Yeah.
All right, lightning round. The Bulls missed 20 of their first 23 threes on the way to a 115-101 loss to the Celtics Monday. What was your biggest takeaway from a loss that dropped the Bulls to 17-19 on the season? Quick answers. Let's go.
The Celtics are really good. The Bulls only scored 33 points at the half because of it. I then turned on the Illinois State game. The end.
Bears.
My biggest takeaway is that the Bulls are right back at it to take on a Detroit Pistons team that leads the East on Wednesday. And by the way, that team just beat the number two team in the East, the New York Knicks, by 31 points. Mm. So unless somebody else is walking out that tunnel, next game's going to be a lot worse than this game was.
My biggest takeaway is that every single time we meet before the show and talk about the Bulls, and on the air it's probably happened too, Marshall Harris tells us that the Bulls are going to go to the playoffs. That's my biggest takeaway.
The Bulls are going to the playoffs.
Why do you have to broadcast it so much? They're 17-19.
I feel like you're talking yourself into it.
That wasn't even my answer, though. He brought it up. I wasn't going to say that.
I did, but that's my biggest takeaway from the day is that, again, Marshall Harris Harris is insisting that the Bulls are going
to
be a
playoff
team.
Would you like to make a wager on this?
Yes, we need a dollar bet.
Okay, dollar bet.
Robbie
dollar
left bill, y'all. We've not had dollar bets.
I think y'all need to take a look at the Eastern Conference standings before you're so sure the Bulls aren't making the playoffs.
I'm not saying that. I'm just more right astounded now? By your assurity that they are going. I'm
They're
not
going
so,
to the
playoffs. Like every day he says it.
Hey, okay, so I know the Bears are talking at Halas Hall. The Bulls are the 9 seed. I know that the Bears are talking at Halas Hall.
Bears?
I'm going to ask you guys, before I bring up the original topic, is there more stuff we need to play up for Bears, or are we still working on it?
Caleb Williams has wrapped up. So let's... let's hear from Caleb Williams, because it's fresh. It's hot, fresh off the presses.
See, this
from Halas Hall.
This is why I ask these questions.
It's the beauty of radio, isn't it?
Producing on the fly.
Is this producing on the B?
Well, I also just want to bring people the latest info. I say in the promo, we'll bring you the latest from Halas Hall.
This is it?
Mm-hmm.
Does Caleb Williams think he was coached well? How about that?
I know the answer to that, but we'll let him say it anyway. Bye.
Bear glove.